thankful to come in his house this morning to honor his resurrection. Let's stand this morning and sing this hymn. It's page 491 if you don't know the words. We have come to his house to magnify his name and worship him. Yes, Lord. This song, sing key, page 188 if you don't know it. Down from his glory, the ever-living stone. think about it. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows chose, and agony. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him. Yes, we do, Lord. without him. We have some announcements this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. After the services, the youth 14 and up are practicing after the service this morning for the group song. We also have a group song Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We're practicing on that. And also I'd like to announce that we're having the Labor Day meetings coming up by the Jack Duff. We'll be ministering for our Labor Day meetings. This will include our August Youth Bible Study, Thursday, August 29th, a special service Friday evening, August the 30th, and both of our services on Sunday, September 1st. I'll also be having a pitch and meal on Saturday, the 31st, and a special sing that evening. So looking forward to it and come expecting. And Saturday we need to come singing, it sounds like. So praise the Lord. We also have some requests this morning. The Eamon family are traveling right now, and Brother Jimmy Yard, not feeling well, and traveling mercies for them. And Brother Lee, could you come up and pray over these requests and invite the presence of the Lord? Good to be here this morning, and good to have our believers from England with us. Good to have everyone here, and most of all, thankful that the Lord's here. Amen.
This morning, Father, may you fill every heart, every need, Lord. Move up and down every aisle, Lord. Just help us, Lord Jesus, as Lord, just to get out of the way, Lord Jesus, to let you, Lord, be worshiped this morning the way you should. God, we just pray and bring these petitions before you, Lord, knowing that you know all about it, Father. There's nothing that's hid, Lord. Sometimes we might think we hide things in the deep, darkest places of our hearts and in our inner beings, Father. But, Lord, you know all about it. God, grant the needs, Lord, that we have this morning. We lift them up to you, Lord, knowing that you have already answered them, Father, for us. Bless the service. Bless Brother Nathan, Lord, as he brings the message this morning. Lord, anoint him and hearts to hear what you're trying to say to us in this late hour, God. We ask that you draw us closer to you, Father. Forgive us of our faults and our many mistakes, Lord. Father, help us to grow stronger in you. Lord, help us to love one another, Lord, the way that we should. Grant it, Father, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Brothers will come this time for the offering. Let's sing that, brother.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We have a group from Newport that's going to come and sing for us. Looking forward to that. Let's sing one more time as they come together. Hallelujah. They will come this time.
Oh, hallelujah.
Blessed by the song. Amen.
I'll see you in the rapture. See you in the rapture. I'll see you at the meeting in the end.
Appreciate that. Let's sing it together.
Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at the meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior, you live.
I believe this is in the book. I believe we've seen it before. So,
oh, country where old twilight shadows deepen, unending day where night will never be. Forever. just what heaven means to me. Oh, and when at last I see the face of Jesus, oh, won't there be a day before whose image other loves off me? Oh, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there, yes. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Sing it again together. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, and this is just what heaven means to me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You looking forward to it? Amen. Good to be in church again together. Go ahead, Brother Furman, and switch that if you don't mind. Wanted to announce, I bought 2 motorcycles, but they're not for me. These are 2 motorcycles that that Brother Iman Joe over in Nigeria that we've been helping, and we showed a video of his ministry recently. He was able to purchase 2 motorcycles for some brothers that work with him. That's Brother Iman Joe there on the left, and then another brother that works with him there on the right. And these brothers will take these back into areas that are hard to get into in Nigeria and take the words. So just wanted to share that with you. That was something that the tithes and mission offerings and things that you bring into the church have allowed us to do. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And thankfully, we can get those for a fraction of the price of what they would cost here in the United States. We can get them over there for much, much less. And so we actually... he hasn't got these yet, but Brother Trevor, I believe, just wired the money to get him another two bikes for some other missionary brothers over there. So we praise the Lord for that and all that the Lord is doing, and just glad to be a small part of what the Lord is doing. So, amen. You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Go ahead and switch it back, brother. Amen. I don't want to keep you standing too long, but good to have the families from England with us, and we certainly enjoyed their fellowship, Brother Harry and Brother Abina and their families, and good to have them with us again this morning. Good to have all of the home folks and all the visitors, and just good to be in church.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And I want to read verse 20. And you know, it's always nice when a minister brother can come out and preach something. He knows everybody's going to be excited about it, and everybody's just going to agree, and it's just going to be a good service. And we'll go out of here, and everybody that goes back and listens to it online, they'll just love it. And you know, we'll get good text messages and emails over it. But I know this morning that this sermon will not be one of those. It'll be one that there will be people that disagree with, and that's okay. But I have to preach what I see and what the Lord has laid on my heart. So you pray for me this morning. We've been looking at this thought of the congregation for the last few weeks, and we want to look at that this morning and maybe again this evening with the help of the Lord. But we want to look at the subject of tongues this morning as well in the congregation. So Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, I just ask that you would have preeminence in the service. Lord, we just ask that you'd come and have your way, Lord, in everything that's said and done. Lord, we thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for your Lord, the atmosphere that you've provided for us of worship and of praise. And Lord, we just ask that you take complete control, Lord, of everything that is said and done, every song that's sang. Lord, anoint those that are, Lord, not only on the platform, that those that are seated in the congregation, may you anoint them to receive. Lord, may you just anoint me in a way that I could get myself out of the way, that it wouldn't be my thoughts or my words, Lord, but that you could come and anoint and bring something to us this morning that would be of a help to us and bring balance to our spiritual walk, Lord. And Lord, just to show us more in your word, Lord, I don't have anything new to bring, but Lord, maybe we can take the word, the quotes and the scriptures, and rightly divide the word of truth, Lord, in a way that would balance people out. Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, and just be with each one gathered here this morning. Those that will go back and listen, Lord, may they receive it in the spirit that it's given in, Father. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. Brother Branham says in several places, and we'll maybe read a couple of them tonight, if the Lord continues to lead that direction. He tells us that this scripture that we just read here, he said, if that's not a Pentecostal meeting, he said, I don't know what one is. He said they were having a Pentecostal revival there, a Pentecostal meeting, as they came across the Red Sea. And they could look back and see that the taskmasters were drowned in the sea, and all that was behind them. So they were excited about it. And, you know, I told Brother Ben earlier, and he did a wonderful job. It wasn't him, it was me. I said, Brother Ben, it might be a little bit longer this morning, so try to get me up there between 11:25 and 11:30. And because I've got a lot on my plate this morning, then I want to play a couple of quotes as well, things that Brother Branham says. And so it may just be a little bit longer this morning. And then about 5 minutes before that, the Lord just started rearranging some things. And I was moving notes around and trying to resave things and move it all around. And so he was waiting and waiting and waiting on me. So I was late, but he was right on time. But the Lord's always right on time, so that's good. Amen. Brother Branham tells us in redemption and completeness and joy, as we've been looking at the congregation and typing what the children of Israel in their walk there, how Brother Branham tells us that history repeats itself, and that many of the things that we saw back there with the children of Israel, we see them repeat themselves down through the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We see it repeat itself in revival moves, and we see it in the church, and we see it in the walk of the bride of Jesus Christ today. And he tells us in redemption and completeness and joy, 1954, he says, pretty near every week I sit down and read through that book of Exodus if I can, or as much of it as I can. I love it because it's a perfect type of the church today, the condition and how God is moving. Moved then, what he did in the natural then, he's doing in the spiritual now. So if we can look back and see what God did back in the days of the children of Israel and their journeys, and we take a step back and we begin to look and compare it to what is going on right now around the world and around the message, we begin to see that it's a perfect parallel. Even the place that we're at now, when we see God has sent a prophet, wasn't just a random prophet that they had to wonder about, but it was a vindicated prophet with a pillar of fire over him, with signs and wonders following, with he had a voice of a sign that came with him, that not only did God send him signs, but he sent him a voice with a sign that would follow, a voice would follow, and there would be some that would rejoice in the signs just like they did in Egypt, and yet there would be others that would go further and would not only rejoice at the signs, but they would rejoice at the voice that followed the sign. We would see that God would take this prophet off of the scene, and yet there would be a group that would move forward, and they wouldn't try to add to what the prophet had said, but what they would try to do is put in action what the prophet had said. Joshua did not come to correct what the prophet had said. Caleb did not come to correct what the prophet had said, but what they also didn't just sit on their hands and say, well, thank God for sending us a prophet, but they raised up mighty men of valor, and they took the word that the prophet had brought, and they said, we're not just going to let it lay stagnant. We're not just going to leave it on scrolls. We're going to write it up on stones, and we're going to leave it for our children and our children's children to see. And not only that, but we're going to write it up on our heart, and we're going to go live it. He told us to possess the land, and we're not just going to quote it, but we're going to do it. Amen. They believed in quoting it. I believe in quoting it, but it's not just enough. The devil can quote it. Amen. The Pope could verbally quote it, but I'm not interested in just quoting it. Oh, I love to quote it. I'm going to quote it to you this morning, but I'm not interested in just quoting it, but I want to live what the prophet said. Amen. I want my footsteps to put in action what the quotes and what the scriptures say. I don't want to just be a verbal believer, but I want to live out the life that the word talks about to us. Amen. So when we begin to see the parallels and the types of where we're at, and we see what God did back there, we recognize that God is a God that he does the same thing through history. Now, he might change the instrument or the vessel that he brings it through. Technology may change and culture may change, but the word of God remains the same. The word of God and the actions of God remain the same. God doesn't come forth and say something and then say, oh, you know, sorry, let me take that one back. I've got a better way of doing it in this age. But God's word, Brother Branham said, he's unchangeable and his ways are unchangeable. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Charity never faileth. Now this word charity, we know it as love as well. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, people around the message have taken this, and then they take a quote, Questions and Answers Part 2, 1964, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. You believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. We do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. They take that and they say, well, because we have the perfect word now, we have the perfect word, so now when that which is perfect is done, then that which is in part shall be done away. So we want to look at this. And before we go any further, let me just read you another quote. Standing in the Gap, 1963. This is after the seals. And I don't say that for my benefit, because I believe the ones before the seals. And I believe the ones after the seals. And I believe the ones during the seals. But there's many people that they'll look at this and they'll say, well, after the revealing of the word, which was a portion of the third pool there, Brother Bram said he went up in Sabino Canyon and he felt a sword come down in his hand, and a voice spoke to him and said, this is the sword of the king. And he said that was that third pool. So we recognize that the word, the sword of the king, not a king, but the king, the word going forth in the revealing of the seals, that was a large portion of the third pool, was speaking the word, not only speaking things into existence, although that was a portion of it as well, like Sister Hattie Wright sitting there and him speaking about her sons or about his wife's tumor or speaking the storm out of existence or speaking the squirrels into existence. That was a part of it, speaking the word as far as physical manifestations, but it was also a bringing forth of the word, a restoring back of the word to a perfect condition where so much had got lost down through the ages. And Brother Bam said that's one of the things that Malachi 4 was to do, was to tie up the loose ends that had been left down through the ages. So when he comes and he says that we now have this perfect word with divine vindication, they say, well, that which is perfect has come, so we do away with those things. But here, 1963, June the 23rd, after the seals, and the gifts has returned to the church, such as divine healing and prophecy and speaking with tongues and interpretations. And though it's been misrepresented terrifically, but yet that don't take away there is a good one. There is a true one of real, genuine, a gift of speaking in tongues that's always supposed to be in church. That's right. Amen. Always supposed to be in the church. How long?
Always.
Not just till March of 1963. Always. Amen. supposed to be in the church. Well, Brother Nathan, how can you reconcile that then? Because Paul said, when that which is perfect has come, do you not believe we have what's perfect? Absolutely. I believe it. Let's look at this word, this Greek word that he uses for perfect. It means finished, wanting nothing, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect. That which is perfect, consummate, human integrity and virtue of men, full-grown adult of full age, mature. When that which is fully mature has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. He goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Amen. Brother Branham says in this same quote about the word, he said, not like a bunch of kids trying to speak tongues, but he said, but when that which is perfect is done, that which is in part shall be done away. So when they went to build Solomon's temple, David had prepared and prepared and prepared, and he had had cedars floated down from Lebanon, and he had had stones hewed out of great stone mountains, and he had had gold beaten and tried and pure, and he had had silver wrought. Now David himself could not build the temple because God had told him, said, because you're a bloody man of war, and because of those things, he said, I can't let you build the temple, but I am going to let your son build the temple. So David didn't just say, well, I'll just let Solomon do it all, because Solomon's going to be, it's going to be called Solomon's temple, and Solomon's going to be the one that gets credit for building it. He didn't do that, but he began to make preparations, and he did all that he could do. And yet when it came time for Solomon to build the temple, he looked around. There was the gold. The gold was prepared. There was the stones, Brother Terry. There was the cedars. There was all the materials that he needed. And in fact, they were in such a perfect condition. God had anointed men in such a way that when they go to put this together, they had their saws and their hammers and their screwdrivers and their chisels and all that. And maybe they just went out to Sears and Roebuck or whatever they had and bought them all new. And they get them there with their shiny tool belt and their shiny bag and all this. And they sit down their tool bags to go to work. And they get a log and they go to set it. And they get out their saw, and well, I don't need the saw. It just fits perfect, Brother Hoover. Amen. And they get out a stone to tap it into the wall, and they get out their hammer and their chisel to shave off a little bit. Well, I don't need my hammer or chisel. It all fits perfectly together. And God had so anointed these men that had come before that every stone and every piece of wood and every piece of gold and silver fit together perfectly to where there wasn't the sound of a saw or the beating of a hammer. But when David had it back there and it was all sitting out in the field, Brother Layton, you couldn't look and say, there's a temple. Because it was in part. It was in part. You couldn't pick up a stick of wood and say, hey, look, I got the temple. No, it was a part of the temple. Amen. Maybe it was the handrail, Brother Harry. Maybe it was the top of the pulpit, or maybe it was some piece of this, that, or the other. You couldn't stand there and say, bless God, I've got it. I've got the temple. No, you have a part of the temple. But then when you begin to take all those parts and put it together, now, this stone is in part, and this piece of wood is in part, and the silver is in part, and the gold is in part, and then you begin to build all the temple and put it together and stand back and say, now that which is perfect has come. We don't look around and see parts anymore, but yet if you took all the parts out, you wouldn't have that which was perfect anymore, would you?
All right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, complete, mature, perfect, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, Brother Branham tells us in the Masterpiece, 1964, he said justification made a way for sanctification. Talking about Luther's transition to Wesley. Justification. Here comes Luther coming out of the Catholic Church. And he says, hey, I've got a revelation. The just shall live by faith. It's not because you could go and pay your way out of hell. It's not because you could do enough penance or because you could whip yourself enough. But the just shall live by faith. And he comes out of the Catholic Church and he has a reformation. And it brings them miles and miles beyond what they had been back there in Catholic dogma. But I'm thankful that we're not still just back there at justification. Because justification then in the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley, justification made a way for sanctification. He says then sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. Amen. But I thank God for not just the restoration of the gifts. I thank God we saw that in Pentecost. But I thank God that we've gone further into the baptism of the Holy Ghost to where it's not just the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's not just a baptism on our flesh or a baptism on our spirit. But now the Holy Ghost itself can come down and dwell in souls.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But we don't get to that part and say, well, we don't need, we're here in the bright age now, Brother Hoover. We're here when the seventh messenger has come, and you know, we have great revelation. The seals have been opened, and the mysteries have been revealed, and we've got so much truth. So what do we need with Luther and his justification? What do we need with Wesley and his sanctification? I don't know about you. I still thank God for justification and sanctification. Amen. Just because we have more truth and we're walking in more truth and we have a greater experience than they had back there in the days of Luther, that doesn't throw away justification and sanctification. Amen. In fact, if you haven't been justified or sanctified and you come up and you say, well, bless God, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, somewhere, if you really got it, he had to justify you and sanctify you, because he wouldn't come to some old filthy, unclean vessel and say, hey, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon this vessel here. But what does he do? He picks you up out of the miry clay. That was justification. I didn't deserve it, Brother Ben. There were plenty of other vessels out there that he could have picked up, Brother Barry, but he picked me up and he picked you up and he said, hey, I'm going to use this vessel. There's thousands, there's millions of them out there that he could have picked up and choose, but I didn't justify myself, Brother Hoover, but he reached down and picked me up out of the miry clay. I didn't deserve his blessings. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't inherit it. But he chose me. And he chose you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Then we were justified, but we were still a filthy vessel. And so he had to take us and sanctify us. You know, you ever get some of that antibacterial soap and, you know, and Clorox and bleach and things, and it's supposed to cleanse about 99.999% of the germs. But I want to say this morning, he didn't come to cleanse 99.9%, but he came to cleanse us completely and fully and wholly. All your antibacterial soap or your Clorox may not get the job completely done, but the blood of Jesus will take care of it all.
Amen.
So he began to cleanse you. Now you can sit in church and say, hey, look how much better than I used to be. Thank God for that. Amen. If you're at that stage, I thank God you're not like you used to be. Amen. But don't stop there. There's more. Amen. So now he comes and he doesn't just baptize you. He doesn't just wash you and you know, get you a little bit on the outside of an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Although there's many, we can look back on the Pentecostal move and even around our own message moves. We begin to see that there's some that the anointing comes down and pours over the vessel. And my, they raise their hands and rejoice just like the others. But it's not coming in and filling and indwelling. But my, they might speak in tongues. They might prophesy. They might get up and preach or sing. And you can tell beyond a shadow of a doubt that person is anointed. But just the anointing, just the baptism flowing over them is not enough until the Holy Spirit himself comes and lives down on the inside and fills them up so full. Oh, I don't want to just be set aside for service. I want him to fill me so full that it puts me in service. Amen. And then he can come. Brother Ram said, oh, who will bring him a fresh drink of Pentecostal water? And he can say, oh my, that's just what I wanted. The Holy Self itself come down. I know this is not politically correct, but I'm going to read it anyhow. Hebrews chapter 6, part 3, 1957. God is not an Indian giver. Amen. To us, that means, you know, like if Philip would give Nathaniel something and say, hey, buddy, I don't play with this toy anymore. I'm going to give it to you. And then he sees how much fun Nathaniel's having with it. He said, wait a minute, give me that back. I don't want to give that to you. Amen. That's what, whether it's politically correct or not, that's what the term means, an Indian giver. He says again, in present stage of my ministry, 1962, God don't do things like that. God's not an Indian giver. So we can never find, you know, and when you look through the scriptures and you look through the message, I cannot find where Jesus ever subtracts. I know that may offend some mathematicians, but Jesus doesn't subtract, but Jesus multiplies. Amen. Jesus doesn't come and take something and say, well, Brother Hoover, I know I blessed you with this. I blessed you with the gift of ministry. But, you know, I'm going to come and I'm going to take that away. He doesn't subtract good gifts that he gives. He doesn't take it away, but he does multiply. Amen. When the little boy came and gave him his bread and his loaves, he didn't take it and say, well, here, I'm going to keep half of it. So you pay your taxes to me and I'll give you the rest back. But he began to break it, Brother Harry, and he began to multiply it and give it out. And what was just maybe not even enough to fill that little boy, he began to fill multitude after multitude. That's what Jesus does. When he sends something, he doesn't say, well, wait a minute. That was okay back here in Luther's day. And that was okay back here in Wesley's day. And that was okay back on the day of Pentecost, but I'm going to take that away now. I'm going to take that from you. But he doesn't subtract, he multiplies. Church Age Book, page 51. If the vine ever brings forth another branch of itself, that branch will be exactly like the vine itself. It will be the same kind of a branch that brought forth at Pentecost. It will speak in tongues, prophesy, and have the power and signs of the resurrected Jesus Christ in it. He says again on page 67, what the church had at Pentecost is her inalienable right. Amen. It's something, it's a gift that's given to you that if you let somebody take it away from you, they will, but it's your inalienable right. You don't have to sit there and let the devil take it away from you, but when God pours out a gift, we just read the scripture, every good gift, every perfect gift, every complete, every mature gift comes from God down out of heaven, and God's not going to rain that down and say, well, you know, that was okay, but I think in this generation I'll do something a little bit better. Now, he may multiply that. He may bring you further than what was back behind you in some previous age, but he doesn't go along behind and take all that away and tear down the building that was being built behind you. A brother told Brother Branham, we'll read the scripture, or we'll read the quote tonight. Brother Branham calls his name, but the man told Brother Branham, said, the book of Acts back there at Pentecost, he said, that was just the scaffold of the church. And Brother Branham said, amen, I can say amen to that. But he said, and the man said, well, when the building is done, he said, you take away the scaffold. Brother Branham said, yeah, that's all right. But said, brother, you fail to see, we're still working on this building. And he said, the last thing that you take down before the building, once the building is completed, is the scaffold. But he said, we're still working on a building. Oh, aren't you glad we're working on a building this morning for our Lord? You go back and you search it when you have time. 45 times he says this phrase, back to Pentecost, back to Pentecost, back to Pentecost. 8 times after the seals. So he must not have changed his mind. Now there are 9 spiritual gifts. And you know, because we're still spiritual babies, we seem like we have to keep dealing with these 2 or 3, tongues and interpretation and prophecy. But there's 6 other spiritual gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. Now, you know, we always want to pick on tongues and interpretation and sometimes prophecy because the Pentecostal people abused it and brought a reproach to it, and they did it out of order, and they did it with a trying to work up. We'll look at the quote tonight. Brother Ramsey said, don't try to tempt God with tongues and just say glory, 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 and try to work yourself up into it. He said, we don't believe in that, but they did those things, and they'd grab you by the jaw and try to make you speak in tongues or have you repeat a word over real fast. Brother Trevor's been through some of those things with you that he experienced as a little boy in a Pentecostal Sunday school, and you know, that was a reproach. That wasn't what was supposed to be. But yet, if that which is perfect has come, means that which is in part has been done away. If that means then that tongues and interpretation aren't supposed to be anymore, we prophesy in part and we do all these things in part, then you can't separate the 9 spiritual gifts no more than, I know they try to do it today, but no more than you can separate the 5 ministering gifts that Brother Bram talks about. So if you say, well, we don't need prophecy anymore, we don't need tongues anymore, we don't need interpretation anymore, then you have to take away wisdom. Yes. Amen. Anybody want to say, I don't have no more wisdom? Knowledge. Anybody want to say, oh, I'm just a big dummy, God don't give me no knowledge? Faith. Anybody want to say, you ain't got no faith? Well, you might say it because you're stubborn this morning, but you're not going to come back around when the doctor says you ain't got hope. You're going to be saying, Lord, give me faith for my healing. Healing, miracles, amen. We've seen them, haven't we? Right here in this little church. Healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. Amen. I believe in those things. Uncertain Sound, 1963. He said, we must realize we're coming to a battleground. I never come for people to pat me on the back and say, Brother Branham, you're a wonderful person. No, sir. I come there with the shield on. I don't need a shield for that.
Amen. You don't have to bring a shield, Brother Hoover, if everybody's just going to pat you on the back and say, oh, Brother Layton, you're doing such a good job, brother. But when they come to you and say, why do you believe this? And why do you stand for that? And why do you go over to that church you do? You better bring your shield with you. Amen. You're going to get beat up on a little bit. You bring your shield. He said, I don't need a shield for that. I come with the helmet and the armor. I come to fight every inch of the ground. God told Joshua, every place the soles of your foot treads upon, that I give you. So footsteps meant possessions. Amen. So when Luther walked out of the Catholic Church with justification and those footsteps, he got the possession of justification, rather. And then it came on down and Wesley began to walk out of his old traditions and he saw sanctification. And then there came a group on Azusa Street back in the early 1900s and they began to see the restoration of the gifts. What was it? Possessions. Footsteps, walking into the promises of God. But we don't stop back there. Now we've seen a great restoration of the word and the opening of the seals. And what is it? More footsteps and more possessions. Amen. I don't want to go back to what that was and forget what we have here. But I thank God that we didn't lose all that back there behind us either. Amen. God is not an Indian giver. Oh my. Once more, 1963. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. Notice all of these quotes that I'm reading you this morning. I picked them after the seal specifically. Not because I need to, but because I know there's some people that need to hear them after that. Amen. Amen. There's hundreds more before, but I'm just picking some of the ones after. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. Amen. Now, the Holy Ghost can't do something and then turn around later, Brother Moore, and say, I was wrong. I acted like that back on the day of Pentecost. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. I spoke in tongues. I interpreted. I preached the word. I went into the jails and delivered those. But, you know, now in this age, you know, the whole that all that stuff, you know, I'm going to do it different in this age. No, the Holy Ghost can't come around and change his mind. But I know that all that speak with tongues don't have the Holy Ghost. See, he begins to teach us a balance. The sixth seal, 1963. Now, I believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. You know I believe that, see? But there's a counterfeit to it, too. Now, the Pentecostals taught that all that spoke in tongues had the Holy Ghost, but Brother Branham said he saw witch doctors speak in tongues and drink blood out of a human skull and do all kinds of things, and they were really anointed by a spirit, but they weren't anointed by the spirit. Amen. But they were speaking in unknown tongues and interpreting. He said he saw that pencil come down and write in unknown tongues and all those different things that he saw. Saw that table raise up. They had power, but it wasn't the holy power. Amen. They were trying to channel some demonic power, but they found out that the name of Jesus brought it all right back into place the way it was supposed to be. Amen. I thank God in this age that we had a word go forth that it set everything back in perfect order. It didn't take away gifts. It didn't take away ministries. It didn't take away all these things. It's the Holy Spirit come around and take up everybody's card and say, well, no, sorry, give me that back. And sister, you give me this. And brother, you give me that. I'm going to collect all these things back up. But what it did was it placed all those things back in the scriptural order of what it was supposed to be. We found that gifts were not the vindication of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, but we found out that gifts were given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 by the Spirit. One Spirit working through all, in all, and through you all. Paul said there, working manifestly how he sees fit. Now he may act on one brother over here one way, and he may act on a brother over here a different way, and he may act on a sister back there a different way, but the Holy Spirit, when he comes and does something through the body, if it's him that's doing it, it'll be in order, and it'll be right, and it'll be scriptural. All right. Questions and Answers, Part 2, 1964. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. Court Trial, 1964. We believe in speaking in tongues. Church Order, 1963. Now, Paul believed in speaking in tongues. He had speaking in tongues in the Ephesian church, the same as he did the Corinthian church. Well, praise the Lord. See, but he could speak to the Ephesians greater things than just speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues. He didn't tell the Ephesian church, Brother Castell, he didn't tell them, Now look, you're way beyond the Corinthian church, so don't you speak in tongues no more. Don't prophesy no more. Don't go about healing no more. You're into predestination, and you're into the adoption of sons and all those things. So we're just going to do it. He said, no, they still had those things in the Ephesian church just the same as the Corinthian church, but they didn't stop there. They went on further into more of the word, and he could talk to the Ephesians more than just about marriage and divorce and speaking in tongues and those things, because they had gone further. They didn't stop there, but they went on further into the word. Hey man, I'm not telling you to stop it. Somebody said, oh, poor Brother Nathan, sounds to me like he's just trying to take them back to the first pool. Well, I'm glad you said that. Let me play you something here that Brother Branham says in 1964, looking into Jesus.
I'm here. You're nervous. That's what's caused your trouble. You got an ulcered stomach. You believe that God will heal it? I'll show you something. I'll take my watch off just a minute. Nervous is kind of hard, but you're a good soul. Let me have your hand. I'll take your hand. Won't you look at my hand? Now watch. I'll lay your hand up on top of mine. Now I see it. See them things running across there, little vibrations like? That's that live ulcer. Now watch. Take your hand off. Now it turns back normally. Now I'll lay my hand on there. It doesn't do that, does it? But I'll put your hand on. There it is again. See? Yes. Now there's something symbolizing there that you can actually see with your own eyes. Is that right?
Yes.
Raise your hand up so the audience can see that's true.
Thank you, Lord.
Here the audience can see. Put your hand. Now take your hand off, lady. Now lay your hand back on there. It's a live ulcer. It's tissue, something eating up tissue. It's caused some nervousness spreading. You have ladies' trouble too. All right. Now hear me. Now this is when you have to take initiative. Just so this lady will know. Now I want the audience to keep their heads down and pray. Because it goes from one to another. When you have to... Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Now you keep your head bowed if you don't want an ulcer. Now hear me. I want you to watch. You've got the ulcer. Now you watch my hand and see that I don't move my hand. Heavenly Father, let thy mercies and grace be upon the woman to make her well. She's watching my hand. She's watching, Father, to see if there's any change. And I know that her faith being nervous, I pray, God, that you'll help her. In Jesus' name, help her. Now, the lady, I haven't opened my eyes yet, but the lady knows that my hand still remains just as it was. Isn't that right, lady?
Yes.
Now, watch it real close now. So this is not done to make a show. This is done to declare that Jesus keeps his word. Now he said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Now I'm going to hold my hand just to study. And I want you to notice, it's not the way I hold my hand. See, it's there all the time. See how it's swelling up?
Yes.
Getting worse all the time. Because I'm holding my whole hand's numb to my elbow. Now you just watch it just a moment. Lord Jesus, not for a show. We're not to do that. But that your word might be fulfilled. You never... heal the people just because to show you were God. But it was fulfilling the word. And that's why I do this tonight, Father. Is my faith to believe that this good woman can be healed of this demon. Satan, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ, who triumphed over all sickness, and it's under his feet, and it's his servant, I take the initiative. In Jesus' name, leave the woman, come out of her. Now, I have not moved my hand. The lady bear me record. Something happened to my hand, wasn't it?
Yes, amen.
If that's right, say amen.
Yes, amen.
It's gone, isn't
it? Yes, amen. It's
You're
gone.
Healed.
Hallelujah.
Now, there she is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look here. I put my hand on. I put your hand on. Just
yes,
the same.
Amen.
You're
yes,
healed.
Amen.
One, go eat your supper. Jesus Christ, mission. My name they shall cast out devils.
Amen. January the 27th, the 22nd, 1964, looking into Jesus. And you mean, here we are, the opening of the Word, the revealing of the seals. Here the Word's come forth. That which is perfect has come. And here he's still going back, Brother Hoover, to the first pull. God never took away the first pull when he brought the second or the third one. Amen. Let me play you one more. This is, I have heard, but now I see, 1965. November the 27th, within a month, Brother Branham would have the car wreck.
Looking
right back to my left here, it seems like there's a channel, kind of, as I spoke, pulling that way. Been directed it that way, now it comes in wonderful. It's a lady sitting there with her husband. She's not from here. She's from Texas, Dallas. She's suffering. Also, her husband's suffering. She's suffering from a complication. She's had an operation. That's right. Her husband suffers something with his back. Back trouble. Mr. and Mr. Carpenter, Texas. Dallas, Texas. That soul, raise up your hand. I'm a stranger to you. Is that right? No way in the world for me to know that. What is it? I have heard of thee by the ear. Now I see thee. See what I mean? Now ask that couple. I've never seen them in my life. I have heard of thee with the ear. Now I see thee with my eye. If you can believe, God can furnish what you have need of. That man sitting there with his hand up on his chin with that high blood pressure, you believe God would make you well, sir? You do, sitting with your hand like this. You believe God will heal you the high blood pressure? Raise up your hand if you believe it. All right? He does it. I never seen the man in my life. I know nothing about him. But you heard that Jesus said here in the Bible that he would do these things. Now you see it. See what I mean? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Only to them that believe. It takes real, genuine faith to do it. But if you can believe it, God will grant it. There's a lady sitting right back there looking at me, got a garter in her throat. Lady sitting next by, sitting next to her, she'll understand. That lady there has high blood pressure also. That's right. Lady sitting next to her, she has a trouble too. And she's not from here, she's from Arkansas. They're missing it. Miss Phillips, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be healed. You believe him? With all your heart, you accept it? And you can have it. Now you say that's mysterious. No, no. Jesus said, your name is Simon. You're the son of Jonas. Is that right? I have heard of thee with my ear. Now I see thee with my eye. Now don't you see what happened? Someone is sitting there looking, believing, trusting, and all at once there it happens. Feeling better, son, tonight than you did last night? Say it again. It's all right now. You're going to be well. Sitting here last night, butting his head and everything else. Now tonight he looks like a gentleman. He's a little bit confused about things, but it's all straightened out now. I'll be all right. And in that day, the Son of Man is being revealed. See, just before Sodom is to be burned.
Amen. Sister Brenda, was that one of your relatives there?
My grandmother.
That was Sister Brenda's grandmother that was healed there in the prayer line. 1965, and he's all the way down to in just a few days, less than a month, he'll have the car wreck. But yet he's still using the second pull, God using it, manifesting it through him. So God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't take back a gift, give it, and then take it back and say, well, I gave you that, but we've moved on to the second pull, so I'm going to do away with the first pull. Now I'm moving into the third pull. We're going to do it with the second pull. I thought it was interesting and thinking this. You know, the first pull could identify the disease. The second pull could give the reason, could foretell the reason of the cause, identify the cause, and the third pole could speak it out of existence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was telling the brothers here, Brother Obina and Brother Harry, they're both doctors, and I was telling them the other day, I think it's amazing, you know, how confusing it must have been for that doctor when Brother Branham's wife would come there, and here he is sitting in a restaurant with a family, and he begins to tell them about the first pull, and he says, well, here, there's nothing wrong with my wife. Let me take her by the hand. And he takes her by the hand, and all of a sudden he recognizes the germ disease, and he says, you have a cyst on your ovary. And the first pull could pick that up and identify it. But he would take her to the doctor. The doctor would say, no, we don't see anything there. And so then, having Sister Sarah and Brother Joseph by cesarean section, they would have her cut open to have the baby there. And he'd say, check that again to see if it's there. No, it's not there. Yet he'd take her by the hand. The first pull would still identify it. Then when the man would come and he would actually begin to see this begin to form when she went in and slammed the door. And now the doctor, Brother Branham, could see it in germ form in a demonic realm there in another dimension. He could see it in germ form, that demon of a tumor there forming on her, and yet the doctors couldn't see it. Now the doctor can see it manifested, and a prophet of God goes and kneels, and it's got to a place where it's so big, swelled out to where even just her clothes touching the side of it would cause her pain. And now she goes, and the doctor can see it, and the doctor's going to perform the surgery, and a prophet of God goes before the prophet could see it in another dimension, and the doctors couldn't see it. Now the doctor can see it, and a prophet of God goes and he asks God, Lord, please touch my wife. And God speaks and says, speak what you will. And he said, it won't be there by the time the doctor can get there. Now the doctor can see it and it's gone. That's why we don't look at the seen, Brother Lee. We look to the unseen.
Amen.
Amen. Looking at the unseen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Brother Bram's preaching in the breach in 1963. And he says, glory to God, I feel good enough to speak in tongues. Look, watch. Here it seems like I ain't got enough language I could praise him with it. I need one that I don't even know. Patmos Vision, 1960. He says, now, when it comes time to Pentecost for Judas to receive the Holy Ghost and so forth, he showed his colors. He denied Jesus and become a traitor to him. And that's just exactly where that spirit come right up. Through Luther, Wesley brought that church up to sanctification with the virgin life, pure, clean, holy, nice, finest people you ever met. But when it comes to when they go to speaking in tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost, the Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Free Methodist, then says, that's the devil. And right then is when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost and shut yourself off forever. For whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, but whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven. Remember, all the disciples spoke in tongues. Jesus died on the cross speaking in tongues. He says, So if you can't deal with them here, be friendly with them here. What about over there? To them, if these are devils, so is them. So you see where it showed his color? Brother Bam tells us in the message, the maniac of Gadara. He's talking about when Jesus went into Jairus' home there and began to pray for his little girl. And as we've looked at it before, and as we played the tape here recently of Jairus, how that he would go and he would be a ruler in the synagogue, and yet his daughter would begin to get sick. Now, he was a secret believer. He had begun to hear some things about Jesus and what he had heard, he believed. And yet there was something about it because of his political ties and his family ties and ties of popularity and financial status and things like that. He couldn't fully go out and just embrace Jesus' ministry because he knew that it would bring a reproach to him and to his family, and that they'd be disfellowshipped. Oh, you mean you fellowship with that group over there? My, we won't have nothing to do with you. We'll kick you out of the synagogue. We'll kick you out of our group. We'll kick you out of our association. And so he dragged his feet, really becoming a full believer, but yet God has a way of getting our attention many times. And so his little daughter, she begins to get sick, and she got sicker and sicker and sicker, and he'd paid for the doctors to come, and they'd done everything they could with the scientific medicine of the day, and yet they couldn't help her. And she got to a point where finally he realizes, they say, there's no hope. All that is in store for your daughter is death. And now desperation, it didn't drive him to the devil. It didn't drive him to the pharmacy. It didn't drive him down to the bank or to the lawyer. It drives him to Jesus. You get desperate enough, and that's where it'll drive you as well.
Amen. I thank God for these other things that God has provided for us. Brother Bram said God heals through medicine. He heals through love. He heals through touch. He heals through music. He heals through all these things. But sometimes you get desperate enough, you think, Lord, all that's wonderful, but I just want to touch the hem of your garment. I need a touch from you. Amen. Brother Bram said the man there, the Catholic chaplain came around to the man that was dying there and bleeding out in the army, in the war. And the man said, did you say a Hail Mary or what did you say? He said, no, I didn't want to talk to no secretary. I wanted to get a hold of the main man. Amen. I think this morning it's time that, oh, we quit our fussing and fighting and arguing. And I think this and I think that. And I think it'll be this way. And I want to go that way. And I want to go this way. And we'll go over here and we'll go over there. I think it's time we got a hold of the main man and see what he would have for us. Amen. So Jairus begins to get desperate enough to get a hold of Jesus. And his wife says, oh, honey, don't you know what they'll do? He said, I don't care. That's my baby laying there. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care if my boss fires me or if they kick me out of the synagogue. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Amen. Everybody else has failed me. Everybody else has let me down. But he hasn't let me down. Hey man, I'm going to go see what he can do for our daughter. And so he takes off down the road and he gets there and there's crowds around him and he begins to tell Jesus about the situation. And here comes Jesus, tired and weary, walking down the road, and a little lady slips in between and touches the hem of his garment, and he stops on his way to Jairus' house and he said, oh, said virtue is gone from me. Somebody touched me. Peter said, Master, there's all kinds of people touching me. He said, son, you don't realize the kind of touch that I'm talking about. Oh, and you can still touch him that way this morning. Amen. If you have a need, you can still touch him that way. Amen. He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, you may not be able to physically reach out and touch his blessed feet like we will be able to one day, like Brother Ben was preaching or singing about this morning, but you can still reach out and get a supernatural touch from him this morning. Oh, why don't you reach out and touch him while he's passing by? Amen. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so he begins to go on by. The woman was healed and he goes back down the road to Jairus' house. And here comes a man running and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your little girl is dead. He said, oh my. Jesus said, hey,
come on now.
Fear not. Only believe. But my daughter's dead. He could have stood there. The scripture doesn't quote it that way in this particular spot, but he could have stood there like he did to Lazarus' sisters and said, hey, don't worry, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. When you got him with you, it doesn't matter what comes or what goes. You're going through trials, he's the trial freer. You got chains, he's the chain breaker. You got sickness, he's the healer. Amen. Death at your door, he's the resurrection and life. You got darkness, he's the light. You confused and lost, he's the way. Amen. Whatever you have need of, he's the answer. Oh, I'm so stressed and so nervous. He's the peace that passes understanding. Amen. Oh, what's in that bag, Dr. Moses? Amen. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. That's all he needed with him. Amen. He knew who was walking with him. And so he gets to Jairus' house and they begin to mock and make fun. He said, oh, she's only sleeping. And the doctor said, oh, who? This guy thinks he's a physician. I checked her pulse 60 minutes ago and she was dead as that doorknob over there. He said, oh, you just don't understand. You're a physician. I'll give you that, but I'm the great physician. And he had to put all the unbelief out of the house. Oh, it's time I think we kick a lot of things out of the house. Our unbelief and worldliness and ungodliness and all my evil ways of dressing and acting and treating people and talking about one another. Oh, if you put all that out of the house, then he can come in and make himself at home. Brother Bam says in The Maniac of Gadara, 1954, he said he called the spirit of a dead girl back again by speaking in tongues. I know people don't like that, but he said it, not me. So take it up with him when you see him. Amen. I'm going to see him someday. I don't know about you. Amen. One day I'm going to be walking and there's going to be a blending of dimensions. That his dimension and my dimension are going to get close enough and I'm going to be able to talk to him about some of these things. So, amen, it's going to be good. But I thank God that he left us. You know, God sent us a prophet in this age and left us a message on the tapes to clear up a lot of the confusion that rises up around the message. I was talking to a brother the other day. He shared a testimony with me. He said, "Brother so-and-so said this, and brother so-and-so over here said that." And I told him afterwards, I said, "You know, I just want to let you know some of the things that you talked about." I reached out to him a few days later. I said, "I've been troubled about it because I appreciate testimonies and I appreciate people's opinion, but it wasn't according to the scripture and it wasn't according to the message. So I haven't been commissioned to say what somebody's testimony or somebody's opinion is, although I appreciate that, but I've been commissioned to say what the tapes say."
Amen.
Rising of the Sun, 1965. Brother Ram said, because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity, to be in God, he was plucked up from the earth and is waved over the people. He's talking about a wave offering. How that the first fruits would come forth, whatever it was, whatever crop it was, the harvest, they would bring it to God and make it a wave offering. And now Jesus, being the first son of God to come to full maturity, and he says again in Rising of the Sun, 1965, hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of dark denominations, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power. And being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders he did back there. Amen. Amen. We've got a word that can bring us, Brother Harry, into full maturity. Not babes anymore. Not speaking as babes like Paul was talking about back there to the Corinthians. Not trying to work something up. Not trying to just seek after gifts, but to seek the giver. Now he's brought us into full maturity. That which is perfect, that which is complete, that which is of full maturity has come. And it didn't do away with all the rest and say, just throw all that away. We got something new. But it just shone more light on what had already been and tied up all the questions and the loose ends. He's the dissolver of doubts. Amen. So if Jesus Christ was the first son to come to that full maturity, and we say, oh my, we want the adoption of sons. We want to be an adopted son like he was, where God can stand and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, where he can stand there and call us sons and daughters of God by his adoption. And we want to come to that full maturity. How did Jesus go out? Brother Ram said he died speaking in tongues. Now you don't have to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. But if you say you got the Holy Ghost and deny it and say it's done away with and say it's for some other age, then I question your spiritual maturity. Because God's not an Indian giver. He's not an Indian giver. Amen. I'm not just trying to get you to speak in tongues and interpret. If God doesn't lead you to do that, I wouldn't try. I wouldn't just sit there and say, Lord, just let me speak in tongues. Let me do this, let me interpret, let me do that. If God hasn't placed that in you, you don't have to beg God and plead God, but seek earnestly the better gifts, Paul said. Amen. Seek something. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log and say it's for some other age, but say, God, do something. Speak through me. Heal through me. Encourage through me. Witness through me. Do something through me, Lord. Let me have a part in this body of Christ that you're calling together. I want to be a part in the congregation. Amen. I don't want to just come to church and just say, well, I attended church, Brother Hoover, so I did my good deed. I'll check that off the list. And no, I want to come and be a part in the congregation. I want to come and be a part in the service. I want God to give me wisdom and knowledge and discernment and faith and healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation and prophecies and anything that he wants to do through me or through anybody else in this church. I want to be willing to be receptive to it. Amen. That he could move how he would want to move and act how he would want to act. There's somebody here this morning that isn't to the, they haven't recognized their justification yet. I don't want to just get up here and just preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hey, so there's some that need to be justified and sanctified still. There's some that need saving. There's some that need healing. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank God. There's some of you here that needs it. There's some of you here that's got it. We believe it. We preach it. But let's not just stop at one thing. Amen. Let's not just stop at tongues. Let's not just stop at justification or sanctification. God has given us a perfect, fully matured word. Amen. You don't have to pick your favorite quote or your favorite tape or your favorite preacher or your favorite 9 spiritual gifts or your favorite 5 ministering gifts or your favorite this or your favorite that. You can have the whole thing. Brother Branham said in the days of Luther, they had rabbits. He said, but we wasn't promised rabbits in this age. We was promised a full 7-course meal. All 7 seals have been revealed. Now, I know there's still people around the message that don't even believe that much. But hey, at least they believe what they believe. Maybe God will bring them on further. Amen. We do away with people just because they aren't where we're at. Well, I'm glad nobody does away with me just because I'm maybe not as far along as they're at. Oh, they might try to, but they can't put me out because they didn't put me in. Amen. Some of you may not be as far as Brother Hoover or Brother Lee or me or Brother Layton or whoever. Some of you may be way further than any of us. Amen. But you know what? We're on a journey. Amen. If you're on the road and you're heading in the right direction, there may be some of you that are sprinters and are way farther than the rest of us. You may be speed readers and memorizers, and your soul may just be eating it up faster than we can take it. But just give us some time. We'll pace ourselves and we'll get to you. We'll catch you. If we're one of His, we'll catch up. Amen. If there's some of you that aren't as far as we are, we're not going to do away with you. You say, poor, pitiful guy, he don't see. You know, there's a lot of preachers like that around the message. They think just because somebody don't see what they think, poor, pitiful guy, he'll never amount to anything. Well, where were they 5 or 10 years ago before they saw whatever great something they claim they see now? Amen. But he brought me a mighty long way. Amen. He may not have brought me as far as I need to be yet, Brother Eduardo. He's still working on me. I admit it. He's still working on me. I know, you know, sadly, there's a lot of people around the message, they can't admit that. They can't admit that they still have work that needs to be done. Now, their wives can probably admit it to you, but there's brothers around the message, they can't admit that they could be wrong or that God can still do something and trim a little bit off of them or bring them further along. But you know what? I want to testify this morning. He's still got a long way to bring me, I believe. But Brother Abina, I can look back down the road and see where he brought me from. And I'm so thankful I'm not back there anymore. Amen. He's bringing us further and further. As Brother Hoover says, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. I want that perfect, fully matured word. Amen. A lot of us, we do like this. This is what I believe right here. That's what I believe right there, Brother Layton. I'm standing on that right there. That's my promise. That's my quote. That's what I believe. That's what our church rallies around. This is what I believe right here, that one thing. And they get up every service, wherever it is, whatever country, whatever state, whatever church you want to call. There's hundreds of them around the world, and they'll rally around that one thing, whatever their doctrine or their pet thing, and they get up every Sunday, and that's what it is. We rally around this. This is what we're excited about. We're excited about the thunders. Hey, I am too. Brother Branham said it was those seven thunders, those mysterious thunders that literally turned the hearts of the children back to the hearts of the fathers. Now, I may not agree with some of them on what they think the thunders were, but Brother Branham tells us pretty plainly in the church age books what it was, and in Questions and Answers there in 1964, he said that was those mysteries that was revealed back there under the seven seals. Amen. So, I heard somebody say, I don't want none of that thunder garbage, just because they had heard the way somebody taught it once upon a time. I thought, oh, don't call it garbage. I needed those thunders. Amen. But I don't just get up every service and just rally around thunders, thunders, thunders. That's good, but there's more. Amen. I thank God for perfect love, but I don't just get up every sermon and just preach love, love, love. That's good, but there's also judgment and repentance, and there's other things. So I'm glad that we're living in the days of an open book. Amen. That we don't just have to hold on and say, this is my favorite part right here. This is what I want to take all that the Word said. Amen. So that it can bring us into full maturity. Amen. God bless you this morning. Musicians, if you'd come. Amen. Lord willing, we may look at it a little bit more tonight. Amen. You trying to take us back to Pentecost, Brother Nathan? Not the denomination. Amen. Not even just the day of Pentecost, but that same experience. Amen. I believe we need that same experience. Amen. It may not act out through you the exact same way. You know, Timothy, he had one style of ministry, and Peter had another, and Silas had another, and Paul had another, and different ones. Barnabas, he had another, but is the same Holy Ghost working through all and in you all. Stephen, he had a different type of ministry there as a deacon, but yet still proclaiming the Word of God to the people. He preached so hard one Sunday morning, they got up, or I guess it was a Saturday. On the Sabbath there, they got so mad they began to run out and gnash him with their teeth and beat him with stones. You know, I've had some people mad about stuff I preached before, Brother Joshua, but it hasn't got that bad yet. Maybe I don't preach hard enough. I don't know. Amen. You thank God for the Word?
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for the truth. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. Amen. I want to take all the Word. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Oh, I'll claim His promise. He will supply. Oh, we're gonna walk together.
let the world.
Why don't we stand and sing it this morning? Oh, I'll stand for Jesus. Sing it this way. Oh, be my friend, Lord. Be, I don't want him to be my judge. I want him to be my friend. Oh, be my friend, Lord. Lord, be my friend. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need Jesus to walk with me. Amen. Say, play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, we want you to walk with us, Lord. We want you to lead us and guide us. Lord, if there's areas where we've stumbled and fallen, Lord, we want you to pick us up and take us further down the road, Lord. Lord, if we've got in some rut of our human nature or of some man-made teaching or dogma, Lord, that's contrary to the word, Lord, may you pick us up out of whatever ditch or rut it is that we've got ourselves caught up in, Father. Lord, may you just continue to unfold your word to us, Lord. We believe we've had a perfect word in this age. But Lord, we don't claim that, Lord, that we're to a perfect spot. Lord, we still need perfecting. Lord, we still are our old humanity and our old carnal thoughts and ways. Lord, we need you to come and continue to perfect us and trim off anything that would be unpleasing. Lord, that's why even after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your prophet still taught us that we should die daily. He said that the Apostle Paul had to die daily and that we should as well, Lord. So may you come and cut away anything that would be unpleasing to you, Lord. Lord, take us back to the potter's house and mold us and make us into your image, Lord. Lord, we need you to walk with us and talk with us. We need you to lead us and guide us. We need you to be our friend, Lord. Lord, to help us, to be a comfort to us, Lord, to be a peace when it seems like there's no peace that can be found, Lord. Lord, be with your people this morning, I pray, Lord. Those that are gathered here, those that will gather at the other local churches, Lord, those gathering around the world, Lord, members of the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, may we, Lord, pick up the bloodstained banner of the cross of Calvary and wave it over the people, Lord, because you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men into you, Lord. May we not point to ourselves or to our favorite doctrine or our favorite preacher or whatever it be, Lord, but may we point people to Jesus Christ and him crucified, Lord. We want to give you glory and praise for all that you do. Mold us and make us. Help us, Lord. If we've slacked off and we're not down the road as far as we should be, help us, Lord. Lord, help us to lace up our running shoes and get back in step, Lord, of wherever we're supposed to be, Lord. Shod our feet with the gospel, Lord. Help us to take the helmet and the breastplate and all the armor, the shield and the sword of the word, Lord. Everything, Lord. Faith, salvation, all those things, Lord, in the armor of the body of Jesus Christ, Lord. May we, Lord, may we be able to war a good warfare, not against our brothers and sisters, but against the enemy, Lord. May we stand for what's right, Lord. May we stand for truth. Thank you for a perfect word that came in this age, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the word for the day corrected the errors of the day, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Why don't we sing this together? Oh, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Oh, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Oh, yes, I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way. To higher ground, to higher ground. I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way to higher ground. Oh, I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. Well, if you don't go, I'll journey.
Greet each other and tell each other, encourage each other, keep marching in. Amen. Praise the Lord. When the saints marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, by his grace.
Yeah.